entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
And I hope you're feeling good, too, out there, folks. We got some beautiful, cool weather on the way here to Central Florida. But in the meantime, you are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And that's right, I am coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Please don't forget, for the best in mercury-free dental care, call my dear friend and personal dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Well, so goes the world of live radio, folks. For the last couple of days around here, the studio has been jam-packed with people, and we've been shuffling folks in and out. But today, I'm here all by my lonesome self. I am Christopher Hart. Well, not exactly all by my lonesome self. Of course, I have Nick LoCicero on the bridge, so I am in good hands, and as are you.
I was going to say, Chris, come on.
There he is back there, good old Nick. And don't forget, folks, Nick has his own radio show. It's a great show. I love listening to it myself when I have the opportunity. It's called WDW News Today. It's on live tonight on our sister station, 1520 WBZW. From 8 to 10 p.m. That's tonight, live, 8 to 10 p.m. And I believe, Nick, tell me if I'm wrong, you're the only live game in town tonight, aren't you?
I think so. It seems to be. Yeah, so you have to tune in. If you're a fan of the attractions, Walt Disney World, want some free prizes?
That's the best part.
We got some great contests tonight.
You give away some great stuff, too. I mean, the loot you give away, unfortunately, I'm disqualified. But hey, what's the website where people can listen?
WDWNT.com, which stands for WDW News Today. All your Walt Disney World news right there.
All right. And that's tonight live at 8 o'clock. So check him out, folks. I think you'll enjoy the show. Also, don't forget, Tuesday night, we're going to be doing live election night coverage right here in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. But we're going to have a lot of other guys besides American Adversaries in here. Carl Jackson will be here. Roger Franklin Williams will be here. And once again, it's going to be, I believe, excellent, the best election night coverage that you will find on radio. From 7 to 9, we'll be live here, and we'll be covering local, state and national elections, and giving you all the results as they come. And we shall see if it's going to be a big night. It looks like it's going to be a good night, at least for Republicans. Big night, I don't know. Good night for Rick Scott, I don't know that either. Nostradamus has some poll numbers later on in the show, which show Charlie Crist beginning to eke out a definite lead in this race. So if you are a big fan of Rick Scott's, or a big enemy, if you will, political enemy, so to speak, of Charlie Crist, you might want to get motivated by these numbers that we'll be listening to today. Also, we're going to have Scott Plakin on the show in the second segment, many of you folks may remember him. He is running again for the Florida House, and basically Scott, I believe, is one of the best conservatives that we have out there, and we need to get this guy back into the Florida legislature and others like him. I believe that he fits the bill of Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, where it appoints us the four categories or qualifications that we should be looking for. Is the man or woman capable? Are they trustworthy? Are they a godly person? And are they in it for some sort of political or financial gain. I think that Scott Plakin falls on the right side of all of those questions. And you'll be able to ask him questions yourself, by the way. And you can participate with me. And Dr. Dennis will join us later by simply calling us at 407-774-8255. Lair Adams is not with us tonight. You know, Lair. Lair can be kind of the worrying type, and this woman Hickox up there. She's decided that she's not going to allow herself to be quarantined. So Lair decided he was going to quarantine himself. You know, he's going to cover all his bases. He's not going to be messed up, but it's only going to be a 3-day quarantine. So he will be back on the show Sunday night, and you folks will definitely want to tune in. One of the best parts of Sunday night show is the very end when Lair delivers his closing comments, and they're always very interesting and usually very touching as well. And don't forget, folks, if you happen to miss one of our shows, in particular the Sunday night show, we know for a lot of you, you have other things going on Sunday night, please go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and check out the archive there. There is a couple of things I do want to talk about before we get started here, though, and we will talk about this Ebola nurse later on. You know, it's funny, Nick comes wandering into the studio before the show, and he was kind of, you know, rubbing his toe in the dirt, so to speak, saying, you know, is it wrong for me to feel, you know, that this Ebola nurse, maybe she should get a little bit of, he didn't put it this way, but kind of a taste of her own medicine.
Getting me in trouble, Chris.
Well, I had the same thought, and I admitted it to you. And as a matter of fact, I was wondering how I might say it on the show. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, it would be some sort of justice, I think, if this woman would at least have a scare. Maybe she would just come down with a bad case of the flu, but something maybe to put the fear of God in her. I mean, here she, on the one hand, wants to think of herself and wants us to think of herself as doing, you know, this great work, like she's some sort of Mother Teresa, by going over there in the hot zone and participating and treating these people over there. And then she's going to come back here and act like she's going to rule the roost and not take any safety precautions. And as I told Nick, the lead doctor in California, who just got back from the hot zone, the lead expert in California, has decided to quarantine himself for 21 days. And California has set forth a similar policy. It's just a matter of being safe. I mean, if this woman really did have humanity and the well-being of human beings truly in her heart, I cannot see how she would behave the way she is behaving. Now, if you can see that, give me a call and educate me, because all I see is an arrogant young woman who is full of herself and full of something else, but it ain't knowledge.
Well, Chris, it's about personal responsibility.
Right.
It's a larger thing that we talk about a lot on this show. It is, you know, taking responsibility and not being too selfish about things.
You would think, Nick, that a person who treats this disease and sees it up close would want to be the most careful of all of us. I mean, I've never even seen a person with Ebola, right? I read about it. I hear about it on the radio and watch something about it on TV. But I don't see people in the final stages of Ebola and what they look like and what they're going through.
No, you would think so. And that's what makes me think twice about her motives even. I'm sorry, but I do question it.
Yeah, and by the way, she's evidently a huge liberal, big fan of Barack Obama's. How all that comes into play here, I don't know, other than that liberals are generally speaking like this. They are so full of themselves that they lose sight of their personal responsibility to the rest of us. And, you know, it would be some sort of justice if she were to get sick, not deathly ill, but just a little something to put in, you know, a little bit of humbleness in her mind.
Makes me feel better that I'm not the only one with that thought.
You are not the only deranged mind around here. You're going to have to do some work to out-derange me. But it's just a shame that I believe that this woman is not a true healthcare professional in that sense. But it also reminds me of something that I've said on the show before. You know, we must have our head examined to put our safety and well-being in the hands of people who think that there are too many of us on the planet for one, and that we're responsible for all the evil in the world for two. You might think that even if they don't do it consciously, on some subconscious level, they might be reckless and careless like that, with total disregard for the health and safety of other human beings, in particular her boyfriend. I mean, here's a kid, here's some guy that she's supposed to love, right? And you would think that she wouldn't want him to be exposed to Ebola.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I mean, I'd be keeping my length from her.
Yeah,
if I was him too, but I don't know. Love only goes so far.
Yeah, love American style, right, Nick?
I guess so.
Yeah, you probably don't remember that show, but anyway. So but to me, it's just a lesson in liberalism once again. And as Nick said, it ultimately does come down to personal responsibility or lack of it. And in this case, the woman just has none of it. And she is, by the way, no Mother Teresa. When they go over there to treat these Ebola patients, basically the treatment consists of trying to make them comfortable and giving them fluids to try to keep them hydrated and giving them coagulants to try to keep them from bleeding out. And that's about it. There isn't much else that they can do. So it's a lot of changing bedpans and changing buckets that these poor folks are throwing up into. It's that type of care. So it's not like, you know, she's some sort of medical genius or something that the world can't do without. Certainly, I think the world can do without her attitude. That's for sure. All right. As I said, don't forget election night coverage on Tuesday night, where we'll cover all the election results. At some point during the show, too, I hope to get a chance to talk about Tim Cook. Tim is the CEO of Apple. And he's come out of the closet today. He's gay. All I got to say to Tim Cook is, who cares? Who cares if you're gay? Now, on the one hand, the reason he says he's come out, and I think it's because he just wants to be, you know, part of the latest fad, and it's cool to be gay these days. But, he's saying that there's still gay discrimination in the corporate boardroom. Now, this is a man who is the CEO of one of the largest market cap, that's money in the stock market, that's their worth in the stock market, the largest market cap corporations in the world. Yeah, he's really suffering a lot of discrimination. All I can say is send a little bit of that discrimination my way here, Timmy boy. When will these gay folks begin to get it that we don't care? Yeah, keep that. Yeah, I don't care. I don't want to hear from my heterosexual friends about their business. It's just not polite company. But then again, liberals don't tend to be polite. They don't tend to have a whole lot of personal responsibility. But we're going to try to change that. Please don't go away, folks. We'll be right back with Scott Plakin. Welcome back to the American Adversaries Halloween Eve at me, folks, and we're playing some Halloween bump music all week long for you. Hope you enjoy it. All right, welcome back. That's right, I am Christopher Hart. 407-774-8255 is the number. The American Adversaries Drive Time is the show. We now have on the line with us a man who I think belongs in the Florida legislature, and we need to get him back there. He was a member of the Florida House. He's running for Florida House again. His name is Scott Plakin. I want to welcome him to the show. Scott, thanks for being on with us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. Once again, real quick, what district and what is that district in terms of geography, please, sir?
It's Florida House District 29, and it's Seminole County, most everything west of 1792, with the exception of part of Altamont Springs. And there's a few other edges to it, but that describes most of the district. Another way to describe it would be all of Longwood, all of Lake Mary, and Sanford west of 1792, and then part of Altamont and Castleberry.
Folks, if you live in that district, I don't care what party affiliation you are, you need to be voting for Scott Plakin. Scott, we recently had Pastor Rafael Cruz, and I know who you know I'm talking about. You might have even seen him when he was in Orlando a couple of weekends ago. And he gave us the guidance to go to Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, for the criteria for the people that we should use as we select people for our elected offices. And I think that you fit the bill, man. It basically says look for people who are capable, who are trustworthy, who are of God and who are not in it for political or monetary gain. Without even asking you any questions, I know you're capable. You've been there before. You are an effective legislator. You are constantly putting forth good bills. I know you're a trustworthy man. I've spoken with people who know you. They all say that. I know you are a man of God because of the initiative that you got involved with Sanford up there during the Trayvon Martin thing. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And the only question I have, though, are you in this for some sort of political gain?
Well, gosh, with all those really nice things you said about me, I hope my wife's listening.
Well, I hope a lot of voters are listening in that district. But you're not in this for political gain, are you? I mean, you're not looking to just maybe one day be governor or something, are you?
No, not at all. I back earlier in life, my wife and I talked about when I was around 50 years old that I would like to do something like this to try to you know, serve, do something to give back. And I was always intrigued by it. And that was back in our 20s. We've been married for almost 30 years, and we'd always talk about it. And then I found out in 2006 that David Simmons was terming out of the Florida House seat in which I lived and decided to run. I really wasn't that active in political things at the time. I was just a business guy that wanted to make a difference and serve. And at my campaign kickoff, we had about 300 people show up, and they weren't the normal political people. They were, you know, soccer moms and homeschool kids, and it kind of opened some eyes back then because I was just a guy coming out of the community and ran, and somehow I won.
And that's just it, too. Exodus tells us to choose someone from among the people, and you're a man that was just a businessman in the community. You're not a career politician. You're just somebody who wants to get in there and make a difference because you feel like this country is, what, on the wrong track?
Well, yeah, it's funny you say career politician because there was a mail that just came out and called me that, which was kind of funny because I served two terms, and my opponent in the race has served one term. So if he won, I guess that would make him a career politician. Like we were just joking about yesterday.
Yeah, but as you say, you got into politics rather late in life, and I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, say you're an old guy or anything like that.
I think I heard you say that.
Yeah,
okay,
well, you know, a lot of politicians, they get involved basically right out of law school, and that's all they ever wanted to be is a politician, guys like Charlie Crist and others. That's not you.
Well, no. And again, like I just did it as a way to serve. And I'll never forget when I started in the House first back in 2008, and the speaker at the time brought us together and said, you know, you're up here. It's kind of a plastic world. It's a surreal place in a lot of ways. And your life is back in your community. Your life is your friends and family that you've grown up around and interact with, that you work with, and never forget that. And I've seen people over the years kind of get sucked up into all of that. And that's something I've always had in the back of my mind to just really, this is life here. That's something you go and do and serve, and hopefully you can make a difference. But life is here in our community.
And that's one of the things that motivated or was behind the motivation behind many of the bills that you proposed was to make life better and more just and more fair here for people in the state of Florida. You were very active in proposing bills. And probably created a lot of political enemies for you.
Well, you know, I started out with none. I may have collected a few over the years.
Yeah.
Because I took some pretty strong stands.
And all based on strong conservative principles. That's what I like about you, Scott.
Well, thank you. You know, yes, and at the same time, you can be conservative. I found this very well. People might be surprised by this, but I had really good relationships with the Democrats up there, and I worked very closely with a number of them. I remember Representative Soto and I did a bill to help law enforcement officers that have been grievously injured in the line of duty.
Yep.
And firefighters that had died in training accidents. We changed the state retirement plan. And so you can be a strong conservative and also work well with the other party. You have to just always be looking for common ground. And that's something I really intentionally tried to do. Now, there's a lot of things we disagree on, of course.
Right.
And, you know, we battle over. But there are some things that we all agree on. And so I tried to, you know, have a mix of both very conservative things like the Healthcare Freedom Amendment, Amendment 1, the Religious Freedom Amendment, but also things like a stalking bill that I passed that I'm told that hundreds of women will be live over the coming years because Senator Simmons and I were able to get that across the finish line.
That is fantastic work that you've done. And it's no doubt, no small doubt, due to your demeanor. You're an easy person to talk to. You're an easy person to approach. It would appear to me that you would be an easy person to do business with. Am I wrong?
Well, again, I tried to, I guess this comes from my Christian faith, is to treat others as you see that Christ would treat them, and to be kind, even in your strong disagreement sometimes. And I think particularly in the legislative process, that works quite well, actually, because you don't have to, you can disagree with somebody without being disagreeable. At the same time, you try to be firm in your principles, but you don't have to be, you know, ugly or mean about it. I think that, you know, I would like to be known, you know, God willing, if I'm back in there, as somebody that lived by their principles, yet listened to other people and you know, kind of govern and pass laws based on those principles and tried to find common ground with other people. Sometimes you can't, but sometimes you can.
You know, I think that as a conservative and other conservatives, what we really appreciate is we don't expect to win every argument or, you know, every political battle, but we just want people out there that we feel are truly conservative and proud to be conservatives and more than willing to defend conservatism. And I think you fit into that category, Scott. Am I wrong?
Well, no, I think that conservatism is what made, if you really come down to it, conservative, and what we're talking about is limited government role in our lives,
yep.
Lower taxes,
yep.
More freedom to you know, create our own destiny versus some bureaucrat kind of guiding us along the way. So those are conservative principles, and really that we're just talking about American principles, and the principles that our country was founded on. So it's, you know, these days, you know, it's in some ways been so demonized by the left in a way. It seems unusual, but this is what our country's story is,
yeah.
Is the things I just described.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Scott, I've got to take a break. Real quickly, what's your website? And please stay with me through the break if you can. The website, please.
www.scottplakin.com.
ScottPlakin.com. You spell that P-L-A-K-O-N, and I'm sure you've seen the signs out there, folks. Check out his website, help him out, volunteer, and most importantly, though, vote for Scott Plakin. We need men and women like him in the State House and in Washington. We'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com with just a little sample of what's brand new today at Soundbite. Well, somebody's getting it right on the war on terror, but it's not the Americans. It's not the United States, I should say. Egypt. You want to see how they're doing it? Go to soundbiterx.com. Great article about that today. A great article about Hillary Clinton trying to get her big old foot out of her big old mouth over that big old jobs aren't created by corporations or businesses comment. How she's going to do that, I don't know. But you can find out how she's attempting to do it at soundbiterx.com today. Also, Democrats are beginning to see that they are going to lose, and perhaps very big and maybe very deep losses, meaning lasting in this election. We can only hope. But that analysis at soundbiterx.com, brand new today. Also this, you have heard about the postman rings twice? Well, maybe that's because he's spying on you. That's right. The U.S. Post Office is the latest government agency to be accused of spying on Americans. Some 50,000 of us, or you, out there in 2013. This is according to The New York Times. Who'd have thunk that? And also, John Kerry's wife, you know, Theresa Hines Kerry, the great, if you will, she's backing an anti-United States, anti-Israeli eatery. I know I won't be eating there, and I hope you won't either, folks, but one thing you should be taking, and that's good medicine at soundbiterx.com. We'll be right back. And, of course, we know you can, folks, because you are tuning in ever larger numbers, and we are so very proud and grateful for that. Thanks for being with us. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time on AM 660. The Answer coming at you bigger and badder than ever before with that big old brand new transmitter. 407-774-8255 is the number. I've got my executive producer, Nostra Dennis, on the line. He lives in Scott Plakin's district, and so he's got some questions for Scott, and you can ask him a question or two yourself if you like at that phone number. And Scott will be joining us, from what I understand, in studio on Sunday night. So I'm looking forward to that as well. You can visit him at his website, scottplakin.com. You spell Plakin, P-L-A-K-O-N. I'm sure you've seen the signs at scottplakin.com, especially if you've been getting on at I-4 right there at Lake Barry. Scott, somebody put about 100 signs out along that entrance ramp there, man. It was so I was driving through there last night. I thought, man, that's great. That's pretty cool.
I haven't been by there. I've heard about it a number of times, though. My staff did it.
Yeah, okay. Well, you got a lot of signs out in front of houses all around the community as well.
And we have about 1,000 yard signs up.
That's right, fantastic. That's fantastic.
Every day we have somebody go out. We're getting more and more requests for them, and it's been quite a great feeling to see the amount of interest.
Well, I know you have a lot of admirers out here, and I hope that translates into a lot of votes for you. I want to ask you something, and then Nostra Dennis has some questions for you as well. But where my respect for you, sir, soared was back during the Trayvon Martin thing when – there was a lot of unrest, if you will, discord in the Sanford community when you reached out and along with a number of ministers and pastors in the area, you came together with something. I believe it was called, I think it was the Sanford Initiative. Please re-educate me. But one thing that I want to point out to the audience is that one reason why we didn't have in Sanford what has been happening and going on in Ferguson is because of the efforts of some of the ministers and the pastors in the community and men and women like Scott Plakin. So hats off to you for that. And just refresh us, what was that called and where is it at today?
Well, there was a group of ministers in the aftermath of the Trayvon Martin situation from over in Sanford that decided purposely to get together, and my best friend is named Steve Strang, who runs Charisma Media, Christian Life Magazine, Charisma Magazine, and he helped organize the whole thing, and they had meetings over at his building in Lake Mary, and the idea behind it was that to get the African-American and the Caucasian pastors there that worship separately to try to get them together and create better understanding. If you think about it, why are churches segregated on Sunday morning? I've heard it said it's the most segregated time of the week. So in the aftermath of the very sad situation over there, there's a group of pastors that decided to get together and purposely get to know each other. A number of them went out to lunch with each other and there were some awkward moments to it. And I didn't start with the initial group, and I was there towards the end of it, towards the time of the verdict. And as the nation saw, and they predicted there'd be problems in Sanford, there was none. There were some in other parts of the country because people, believers, got together and decided that they were going to be, I shouldn't say that God was going to be bigger than that, and they would follow that lead. So, and it resulted in the Sanford Declaration, which is sanforddeclaration.org. Which is online that you can read it, but it just is a statement of principles that we should live by when it comes to these issues.
Well, I'm so glad that you got involved with that and your friend and all the other ministers, because I do believe that it went a long way in preventing violence in the Sanford community, which would have, of course, been a tragedy on top of a tragedy. All right, I want to bring in Nostra Dennis. Nostra Dennis, you have some questions for Scott.
Sure do, Scott. You were my representative, and then because of some moving around of districts and things, you aren't anymore, but you're about to become next January 1st. I'm confident in that.
All right.
I'd like to find out your take on this. As a general rule, when I get things in the mail from candidates, I look them over and I see what they're saying. As you know, there's been about 100,000 pieces of mail with your name on it. The thing is, most of it I'm getting from your opponent, who's putting your name in big letters and his name in tiny letters at the bottom. What do you think prompts that?
Well, we've been kind of keeping score on this, and it's very unfortunate that my opponent in this race has decided to go almost an entirely negative campaign. They've done 11 negative mailers on me in about 4 weeks. So about every other day, you're getting negative mailers. And what's really sad in a way is he's only done four that are about his record or accomplishment and that kind of thing. Our campaign has done 10 positive mailers, two you can consider, you know, critical or attack mailers, and two that were responses to his 11. So we basically are running mostly positive, and he's running mostly negative. And I think that's caused by that it's a very rare occurrence, mainly caused by redistricting, where you can actually run side by side our two records. And my opponent served for 2 years. Literally, you get six bill slots a year, so he had 12 chances to pass legislation. Literally never had a bill heard before committee. In 4 years, I passed 16 bills. All of them had at least one Democrat vote. Nine of the 16 were unanimous, House and Senate, and signed by, into law by both Governor Crist and Governor Scott. So if you compare the two records, he's got a difficult case to make. So what he's done along with the Democratic Party is they've decided to trash my name all over the place. But, you know, you got to put on your big boy pants with this, and it ain't tiddlywink. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, that's
– I can't say I like it, but –
Yeah, I'm thinking you got so much done in such a short time that it's just because you're a career politician. That must be the reason.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, I mean, right, one of them said career politician, and that's two terms. And if my opponent wins, he will be what he's saying is bad.
He will fit the bill.
So I guess I'm running to help him from becoming a career politician. I'm trying to help the guy.
Now tell me, do you folks have any internal polling that indicates how this race is going, whether you believe you're ahead or not?
Yeah, we've done a handful of polls going back months, and I'm not supposed to say exactly, but every single one of them has had us up double digits. And St. Peter's blog polls, I think, polled the other day eight of the swing seats around the state, this being one of them, and they had me up 24. Now, I don't believe that.
Yeah,
but every poll has been done had us up double digits.
Well, all I can say to you listeners out there is vote for the man like he's 24 behind, because we need to have him not only win, but win by as big a margin as possible to send a loud, clear message to anybody looking and listening. Scott,
well,
let me
more
ask.
More than that, it's the governor's race too, and I was with the governor. The whole morning, actually, a couple of events, and
okay.
And this race is, you know, statewide is going to be about turnout. What seems to be happening from anecdotally, most of the Republicans are voting for the Republicans, and the Democrats are voting for the Democrats. So the question is, who turns out their voters? And what happens in this race ties into the governor's race. In fact, kind of a funny story: the Democrats in Miami decided Annette Tadeo, Chris' running mate, when she was party chair down there, decided to run something against all seven Republicans in Miami, Republican House incumbents. Now, they aren't strong candidates, but they make them run races. So that is driving turnout for the Republicans against Charlie Crist.
Whoops. It's odd because oftentimes, you know, it's the other people on the ballot who are carried by the coattails of the people at the top of the ticket, so to speak, in this case being the governor's race. But in this case, I think it's the other way around, Scott. That's kind of what you're saying, isn't it?
Well, it all ties in together, and you're right. If you probably look at the turnout and the votes for governor in the areas where there's the kind of hot House races, you'll see that they make a difference. And there's really only in the House this year 8 to 10 people think that there's a serious chance either party could win, and four of those are right here in Central Florida.
And, of course, you're right in the middle of one of them. And ScottPlakin.com is where you can find out more about Scott. He will be on the show with us Sunday night. Scott, we're running out of time right now, but you did get a lot done while you were there. Do you have one particular initiative that will be your focus when you get back there to start off again with?
Well, I wouldn't say a bill, but I would like to pursue policy that as I chaired Energy and Utilities in 2012, I passed a bill that created about 4,000 jobs in the state, and I'd like to, you know, kind of use that as a model going forward, but also public safety issues like the stalking bill.
Yep.
I was with Pam Bondi today, and there's some ideas to expand on human trafficking initiatives that I'll be talking to her about.
Right.
So, you know, between job creation, public safety, and then in Seminole County, our crown jewel is our public education system. So I want to make sure that that's properly funded, both as a percentage of the budget that is proper, but also since Seminole County is so successful, there's a lot of other counties that would like to get their hands on our funds.
Okay.
I think to protect Seminole County.
Okay, Nostradamus, I'll let you have the last question for Scott for today anyway.
Sure. Scott, it seems traditionally Republicans do not participate in early voting as much as Democrats, but this year it seems early voting shows them participating much more and Democrats participating much less. Are you seeing those numbers in your district?
Yes, we are. It seems to me that the Democrats are actually a little more active in the absentee than previous years, but the Republicans are more active in the early voting. Statewide, Republicans have 138,000 advantage. In District 29, last I looked, we have about a 4,500 advantage. We're 20 points ahead in turnout. It's about 50-30. So, yeah, it does seem to kind of be evening out. Right now, using this district as a model, we're expecting 50,000 voters of the 100,000, roughly. And there's already, as of this morning, over 24,000 have voted. So we're probably going to be at 55% of the turnout by the time early voting ends. Now, what I'm thinking, and I've heard this, is the Democrats being more active in absentee than in the past is that they're kind of robbing their election day votes. And, you know, that's how I think
right.
The governor could win.
Yeah, it's not necessarily going to increase the turnout. It's just going to sort of change the distribution of when the votes come in. And I believe
right.
A lot of those absentee ballots on the Democratic side are coming for black voters because they've been encouraged at their churches to get to sign up for and get the absentee ballots. At least that's happening around the country. Scott
right.
Plakin, once again, good luck to you. And we look forward to having you on the show Sunday night. Any last words before we let you go today?
Just everybody get out and vote. This is about turnout, and it's very, very important. Who our governor is in particular over the next 4 years, going back to who I served with Charlie Crist, will be a disaster. And just please, everybody get out and vote and call your friends. I called a relative of mine, and I put them responsible for four other people. And I'm doing that with a lot of friends to make sure everybody gets out.
Great idea. Okay, Scott Plakin, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you Sunday night.
That's see you then.
Okay. ScottPlakin.com, P-L-A-K-O-N, ScottPlakin.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the American Adversaries. Coming at you in drive time on AM 660, The Answer, Halloween Eve. 407-774-8255 is the number. Eva, we'll get to you in just a minute, but Nostradamus, I want to go back to you first. By the way, folks, if you need a voter guide for the judges, I'm voting no on all the retention ones, so that's easy. But you can go to floridafamily.org. I'm sorry, flfamily.org, flfamily.org. They've got a great voter's guide, as does the Liberty Council at lc.com. That's lc.com. And if you need help in Orange County, go to orangecountynow.org. OrangeCountyNow.org. And I do have recommendations for the three the district court judges in Seminole County. You want to vote for Susan Stacy. You want to vote for George Paulk. And you want to vote for, Mosier. Stacy, Paulk, and Mosier in those judgeships in Seminole County. And we'll put that on our Facebook site. Nostradamus, you have some polls. Scott was talking about the governor's race. How's it shaping up?
Oh, pretty good. And I'm glad you mentioned those judges because I guess I got them all right when I went for early voting this past weekend.
Excellent.
The polls, according to Quinnipiac, that just put another poll out a week after last week's poll that said both Scott and Crist are at 42%. Well, that's changed a little bit. Right now, Crist is supported by 43% of those polled in the Quinnipiac poll taken last week. Scott received support from 40%, 43 to 40. That's a 3-point margin. Now, listen up, people who think that the Libertarian is making Republicans lose races. I will grant that in most cases, more often than not, the Libertarian does take votes from the right a little more than the left. But in this case, they asked if Wiley was out of the race, Libertarian candidate Adrian Wiley, who would you vote for? The answer then, Crist 45, Scott 42.
Ouch.
3-point swing.
Yep.
So in this case, in this race, it doesn't matter whether or not Wiley is in the race as far as the other two candidates are concerned.
Well, that's actually quite consistent with what Adrian Wiley and David Levitt have been saying all along, and that their numbers show that they're pulling pretty much equally from both parties. People who are disgusted with both parties are looking towards something else and going to the Libertarian Party.
Right. In this poll, Wiley receives 8% support, so 3% of them would vote Crist, 3% would vote for Scott, and 2% just wouldn't go to the polls at all.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Noster Dennis, I know you have a couple other stories there, but I want to give Eva a little bit of time to talk since he's been holding on the line, so don't go away. Eva, I've only got a couple of minutes, so please make your point in about a minute or less if you can.
Yes,
thank you for calling.
I just want to say I heard on another show today that our beloved Alan Grayson's wife and children are on food stamps.
Well, I'm not
now,
surprised.
That shows character, doesn't it?
Yeah, it shows lack of it.
Well, all I'm saying is you people in District 49, I hope you have better standards than that.
Yeah, Carol Platt is a great candidate on the Republican side. That's been a very quiet race down there. I don't know. It sure is an uphill battle for her, though, but I would love to see Alan Grayson kicked out of Congress the second time. Eva, thank you for pointing that out to us, and shame on you for listening to another show.
I know.
I'm just teasing with you, Eva. Thank you so much. We love you very much. Thanks for calling. All right, Rick, same with you. You got 1 minute or less. Make your point about medical marijuana.
Yeah, I can't figure out your stand on it. Are you for it? Are you against it? I voted for it, definitely, just to help a lot of people who need it. I can't figure out where you stand. You said you were for legalizing all drugs, and then it sounded like you were against it. Maybe you can clarify it.
All right. If this were what I feel were truly legalized, excuse me, if it were truly medical marijuana and that alone, I would vote for it. If this was legalizing marijuana, I would vote for it. But this is a bad law. Have you read the law? Can you understand what it says? Do you understand what that law says and what it implies? I don't think so. I know I've read a lot of judges. I read a lot of Supreme Court decisions, and I can't make hide nor hair out of that law. I will not vote for something that I cannot understand. I just simply take the Jackie Stewart philosophy, the old race car driver. He said when he'd get in trouble and spin out or something, he'd say, when in doubt, both feet out. If you can't understand something, how can you vote for it? I understand the goal is what it's supposed to be. I'm just not so sure that this law would do it. I can see this law being a nightmare for both people who want marijuana legalized and for people who don't want it legalized. So it's just in the wording of the law itself, Rick, and I hope you'll accept that answer, at least for now. Thank you for calling, though. I really appreciate you being out there. Noster Dennis, did I make any sense?
You did, and, you know, because of the way the law is worded, as you said, if it is passed, there is a chance that people on both sides of the argument could put up legal challenges to it. So it'll be interesting bedfellows if this thing ends up passing.
Yeah, all I can say to people like John Morgan is, if you want legalized marijuana, then put an amendment on the ballot that says that. You know, don't give us this subterfuge business. I mean, if you want to do it, then go all the way and do it. If you want medical marijuana, then do that. Don't give us this, you know, trying to have the baby or create some sort of Frankenstein. That doesn't work with me. And so, you know, even though I might agree with the goal, I don't agree with this path to it. I'm not a one who believes that the ends justifies any means to get there. And it disappoints me. But in my opinion, if this thing goes down in defeat, we might have a better chance to get actually something that will do us some good in the long run. Noster Dennis, we're just about out of time. The San Francisco Giants won last night. Why is it that in some of these cities, when they win big, they go out and they trash the joint?
That's right. And, you know, they won the World Series 2 years ago. You'd think they'd be used to it. There was more looting and violence in San Francisco last night than there was in Sanford, thanks to Scott Playcon's efforts with the group up there asking people to stay calm. For some reason, hooligans will find an excuse to turn cars over and to smash windows wherever they can.
I reckon so. All right, Nostra Dennis, thanks very much. We appreciate you, and talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see ya.
All right, so once again, folks, please do get out and vote. And after you voted, come and listen to us, or wherever you're at, listen to us on election night from live election night coverage right here on AM 660 The Answer. That's going to do it for tonight, everybody. Night, everybody.
AM 660 The Answer.